Psalm 135. Psalm 135 and also Psalm 136 are pairs. They're one person called it. They're the identical twin. Both are orphan psalms. When we say orphan, we're not sure exactly who wrote it. We've got a pretty good idea. It's Hezekiah that wrote it. Here we have two of the happiest orphans in the world, and they say, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Give praise to the Lord, bless the Lord, and give thanks to the Lord." And I'll tell you what, when you're doing that, you're excited about serving God. So let's read it together. Follow along. Psalm 135. "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for a peculiar treasure." That word peculiar, very interesting word. It has this idea of a personal treasure, something you treasure very much. It's your own personal treasure. It's something that you would never give up. It's something that you would never give away unless you gave it to your grandson or your granddaughter, something very special. You treasure it very much. "For I know that the Lord is great and that the Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in the heavens and the earth and the seas and all the deep places. He caused the vapor to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightning for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both man and beast. Who sent togens and wonders unto the midst of thee. O Egypt, whose Pharaoh was upon all his servants. Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Shion, the king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and all the kingdom of Canaan, and gave their land for inheritance and heritage unto Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. The idol of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is any breath in their mouth. They that make them are like unto them." I think there's a pun there from God. He just said they're dumb. They can't hear. And he said, "They're no different than they are." See, he said, "There's..." Anyway, I get a kick every time I read that. "So is everyone that trusts in them." So he said, the guys that make them, the guys that trust them, he said, "They're no more than the dumb idol that can't do anything anyway." "Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord." Now, isn't that a happy psalm? That is a happy psalm. I mean, you come up, you like diving in the water, and you come up and take a deep old breath. When my boys, I raised my three boys here in Montana for the most part. And every pond or every river we ever jumped on, you could almost walk on. It was so cold. How many have experienced that? Cold. I mean, you go over here to where, what's the name of that place towards Showdown, and there's a big place in there you can dive off them cliffs. Man, when you hit that water, you know you're alive. Belt Creek, same way, cold. And I took my boys to Michigan one time, and the water in Michigan is warm, and it's clean. And the boys... Jumped off this tower into that water. And all three of them came up and said, "Dad, it's warm!" And the big old smile on their face. They thought they were in a bathtub, anybody. And so anyway, that's kind of like when I read this. It's kind of like jumping into something that you think is going to be cold, and all of a sudden just, oh, wow, that's nice. That's really nice. So, Father, I pray you'd help us tonight as we look into the Word of God. We thank you for all you've given to us. Lord, the joy that we should have in our hearts as we read your scriptures, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Probably this psalm was written by Hezekiah in the joy that overflowed his soul and his really double deliverance. He was sick unto death. He's going to die. And he turns his face to God and said, God, don't let me die. Why don't you think he wanted to die? Because he didn't have any children. He did not have a boy to carry on that name that Jesus was going to come from. And secondly, the Assyrians, of course, had just massacred the people up in Syria. They come in there and massacred the people of the northern kingdom and just destroyed them terribly. And they were marching. I'll tell you what, Rabshakeh was there knocking on the front door, and God took care of them, killed thousands and thousands. The text itself, however, does not say so. The Holy Spirit prefers to let it stand without father, without mother, without beginning, without ending, kind of like Melchizedek. You read in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3, Melchizedek, he had no beginning, no ending, and one of the priests, Melchizedek. The theme of Psalm 135 is worship. First we have the psalm looks at the Lord, and then at his people. He says that our worship should be inspired by praise ye the Lord, and then hallelujah. Or we should perhaps emphasize the word hallelujah. The name, when you say hallelujah, that is the Yah is what we call concentration of the idea of Jehovah Jah, and so we get the hallelujah from, and that's how they take that and make a contraction out of that. And same way with El in Elohim, Jah is God, eternal one, inhibiting eternity and inhabiting the praise of all his people. The name first occurs in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2, where in the first song of the scriptures, Moses leads Israel to a rapturing celebration and overthrow Pharaoh. What an amazing thing. How the Egyptians had just, for 430 years, just crushed the Israelites. And all of a sudden, God brought a great victory there. And so Moses draws attention of a static people of one who had already been delivered. And we have much to be thankful for, and praise should be a constant habit of our lives, because when we receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior, our Pharaoh who had, the Satan had kept us under for all those years, we get saved, and our sins are forgiven. Our sins as deep as far as the deepness of the sea, and as far as the east is from the west. We should rejoice every day that, hey, I'm free. Free at last. Amen. I'm free. I'm free from my sin, and I am justified by Jesus Christ. I no longer have to pay for those sins, and I'll burn in hell. I am free. And that's kind of the idea that when we look at the idea of Pharaoh and what he did to the children of Israel, well, Satan has done that to us and pushed down where our father, the Satan, keeps us from doing things, and then we find Jesus. Well, actually, he found us. He comes to seek and to save that what was lost. He finds us. We realize that we're sinners, and we realize that our eyes have been blinded all this time. So, wait a minute, I don't want that. This is what I want. And so as you read this, it has that idea. But how often, this is a good illustration, how often we like the peacock and our gorgeous plumage of our satisfaction, we kind of put out this beautiful net of feathers, and we think that, boy, we're really something, and we forget it was mercy and the hand of God who saved us. And we want to be very careful that we don't go strutting around like the old peacock, you know, and say, well, look at who I am. You know, you put that fan out there, that big, you know, a peacock, they can hide pretty good until they get a little strut and then they put that great big. Have you ever seen a peacock just bring that thing out, man? Wow! You know, all it is stinking feathers. Amen. And fluff. I certainly met a lot of peacock Christians. Amen. And I certainly don't want to be one of those. It's our responsibility to praise the Lord. It's not the responsibility of God to praise us, but we're to praise the Lord. The psalmist says that we are to praise the name of the Lord. The time there is a contraction of the name, Jehovah, is God of covenant and the God of promise, the God who keeps his word, and the God who is forever all that his people need. So anytime you hear the word Jehovah, that's what that means. Throughout Scripture, salvation in all its aspects is closely linked to the name of the Lord, the saving, the sanctifying, the sovereign name of Jehovah in the Old Testament, and guess who for the New Testament? Jesus. We ought to praise his name. His presence shouldn't inspire our worship, and mere thought of his name should inspire a song within him, a song within us, a song of praise. I don't know about you, but many a morning I wake up, I'm praising the Lord. It's just amazing. I'm living. I'm still living. I don't know about you, but I like it now. We're starting tonight. We'll leave this auditorium, and it's going to be dark. It's going to be light out. I like that. I like getting up in the morning. It's light. I like seeing that. Now, I sometimes get up in the morning, it's still dark, amen. I know the other morning at 5 o'clock, it was still dark when I got up, but it wasn't very long, and all of a sudden, and the dog came licking my toes, amen. But in the morning time, there's just something about the morning time. The old sun coming up. I was up early and pulled the shades up, and the sun was just coming up. And there's a shepherd's home out in Wisconsin, and it's for children that are special needs kids. And every morning they go to the eastern window of the shepherd's home, and if there's clouds, they'll say, "It may be today." These little, as you most little kids, it may be today. Jesus may come today, and they start chirping it all around. Brother Paul Hoover's sister lives there. He says the most amazing you've ever seen. But sometimes the sun comes up, and there's no more. Jesus not come today, and they're all sad. Isn't that something? Because he says he's going to come in the clouds, amen. Now, you and I know that it could be cloudy someplace else and not like it is here. It's beautiful, blue, shiny. Yeah, amen. Our worship should be inspired by we that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of God. Those that stand in the house of the Lord were the priest. Those that stand in the courts of the house of God are the people. Nobody, I want to say this, nobody has a monopoly on prayers, praise. Everybody can praise God. You may be a half-wit. My dad used to call people, well, he's kind of a half-wit, you know. You may be one of those. Your elevator may not go all the way to the top. You may have a 8-cylinder car fire on 2. You may plant your grass green side down. But I'm going to tell you something. Anybody can praise God. Anybody. I don't care who you are. Even these little guys. Little colt there. You can praise God. Colt can sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible." Don't you tell me God doesn't get excited about that. Old Ronnie, he can sing, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And let me tell you something. God loves that from the little children, amen. Even my little buddy back there, he can squeal a little bit. And God, that's praising God. I'm afraid of so many people. We've got this idea we don't praise. We just don't think we need to praise God. Well, God said praise God. And if God says it, that's just like praying, and that's like reading your Bible. You ought to praise God. Praise the Lord. I think Nancy was trying to find a book on Billy Bray. Did you ever find it? Did you read it? Did it tell about how that he walked down the road and praised the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord? He was a miner, filthy, talking, terrible, boozing, you name it, he was. He got saved, and a bunch of other miners got saved. They said that they were working down them coal mine, them stinking little donkeys they have. They wouldn't do nothing because they were not cursing at them anymore. They had to retrain them stinking donkeys. And Billy Bray said, I had such a terrible mouth. He said, I had to change it. So he said, every step he took, he's praising God. Praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God. That changed your heart, amen. By the way, I guarantee no guy at work is going to tell you a dirty story when you're talking like that, amen. Yeah. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise. A little child singing, Jesus loves me, I know. For the Bible tells me so. Brings as much delight to God himself as some seminary professor trying to explain all the things about the Bible. When it comes to praise, I want to remind you again that God is no respecter of person. You may not think you can do much, but I'll tell you what, at least you can praise God. You say, well, I don't have much money. Well, you still praise God. You say, well, I don't have many talents, but you still praise God. Well, I can't teach Sunday school class, but you still praise God. Well, I can't drive a Sunday school bus. Well, you still praise God. Well, I can't even take the offering. I'd stumble over my feet. You still praise God. Still praise God. The psalmist points out that their position should evoke praise. The consecrated priest in the temple and the concerned Hebrew in the outer court were both in place of God. They should praise God. When we stand in the house of the Lord and gather with his people, praise should be natural as the air we breathe. One does not look for people to praise the Lord in a tavern or in theaters or dance halls or casinos, but one looks to praise in a place where God's people congregate. And let me tell you something. We'll be praising God in our homes. And there ought to be something going on at home you ought to be praising the Lord about. I'll be driving down the road, I tell my boys, well, praise the Lord, what a beautiful day it is. Praise the Lord. Every time I said, man, isn't it? You guys are so lucky being a preacher's kids. Look at all the things you get to do. And I just keep it up, and I just keep it up, keep it up. What'd they see their daddy doing? Praising the Lord. Praise the Lord. Guy was nailing some shingles on. He missed the nail, hit his finger. He said, praise the Lord! Stuck that thing in his mouth. And the guy said, why don't you just cuss? He says, why would I want to cuss? He said, I could have cut my whole thumb off. Well, praise the Lord, I didn't cut the rest of it off. Amen. The psalmist states three grounds of worship. First of all, get this now. I think you can find it. His personal charm. God's personal charm. Verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name. What's the rest of it say? Four words. For it is pleasant. God's pleasant. God is good. Suppose he were not good. Suppose this was all a dream to us, and that, after all, the gods of the heathens were the true gods. Suppose we'd have to turn to a god like Dagon or Baal or Moloch. Suppose Baal was were God, that he delighted in temples. He delighted in betrothals. He delighted in priests and servants were actually pimps and prostitutes. How can you serve a God like that? How can you praise a God like that? Suppose the Hindus are right. Candace saw a lot of that. That their gods were the kind of mobile forms. Gods found in the temples. Filthy carvings. Or suppose Moloch was our god. That he had an insatiable thirst for blood. Brother Reeves, can you imagine taking your little baby down and throwing that baby and sacrificing that baby, one of them boys, on top of this great big Moloch that was heated red hot and throwing that baby in that fry pan? People believe, hey, come on, people believe this stuff. Thank God he isn't at all like that. And the Lord is not just passively good, but absolutely and actively good, ever looking for ways to express his goodness to us. All good things and all perfect things come from God. We sing praises unto his name, for he is pleasant. The name Moloch brought fear into the hearts of the worshipers. They had to take their own child and sacrifice that child on the fires of Moloch. And they had a situation where they'd open up the mouth of that and they'd throw that baby in and that door, that mouth would slam shut. They say you could hear the baby sizzling on that hot pan. You see, the name of our Lord inspires songs. What a lovelier, is there a lovelier name than Jesus? Is there a more precious name than a Jehovah? A name expressing and telling the Hebrew children that he loves and cares for you. What a lovelier name is there than the universe than Jesus? There's not. There's no name so sweet on earth, no name so sweet in heaven, that the name which of his lowly birth was to our Savior given. It's also a peculiar choice. You remember I talked about the peculiar. Peculiar was a what? It was a precious thing that you held very dear to. His peculiar is different. It's different than all my toys. It's different than all my stuff. This is the one I cherish the most. The Lord, Jah, has chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Don't mess with those Jews. Don't mess with those Israelites. God said, hey, don't mess with them. Don't mess with them, President Obama. Don't mess with them. You leave them alone. They're mine. They're my peculiar treasure. What does that peculiar treasure mean? Something that you value greatly. The psalmist's mind goes back to Exodus 19 in the third month since the Hebrews left Egypt. What an eventful 3 months they had been, packed with proof of God's goodness. 3 months. Moses went down. Moses came out. Moses went down. Moses came back. You know, the blood turned to water, the flies, the lice, on and on and on. 7 times Moses ascended and descended the mountain. First time answering God's call. He went up alone, and God refreshed before him the initial dealings with the people he was working with, the Israelites. Exodus 19, verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. By the way, you Gentiles, don't get jealous about this. God told us to love him. Amen? And if God says, those are my peculiar people, or my particular people, don't get jealous about it. Just trust God that he knows what he's doing. By the way, if you didn't have Jews, you wouldn't have your Bible. Then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, and for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You know, we talked about the Levites being the priests. He said, hey, all 12 of you tribes are priests. All 12 of you tribes are holy people. Holy, you're set apart to do my business. You're set apart so the world can see what you're supposed to do. Kind of sad, isn't it, that they failed mankind. That sure is the mercy of God, though. And I need to see that. Because I go, hey, Bob, I need God's mercy all the time. Joe, I need God's mercy all the time. Josh, I need God's mercy all the time. And it reminds me that when I do foul, and I do things that I shouldn't do or say things I shouldn't say, there's a God of all mercy says, son, come on back. I won't give you 2 cents for a person who wouldn't forgive people. I meet them all the time. Oh, they're grouchy, they're mean. You don't know what they did to you. And I always say, well, what did you do to Jesus? What did you do to Jesus? Because God said, if you forgive others, God will forgive you through Jesus Christ. So you better be careful that you forgive. You better let go of those things that you're holding back. The goodness of God is doing this has yet been seen on earth because Israel has been a dismal failure. But it's coming. Trump of God shall sound, dead in Christ arise, though that remain shall caught up, will ever be with the Lord. Then there's going to be a 1,000-year reign. And he's going to bring all those Israelite people back. And we're going to rule over them. Bob, you probably get the county station again. Amen. But one thing about it, if they go against God, you get to cut their head off. But they have to be 100 years old at first. But anyway, Sunday I'll go into that. I'm going to finish my sermon from Sunday last. Then he declares, for I know the Lord Jehovah is great, and that our Lord, and that word Lord as Adonai, is above all gods. That Jehovah was a great, was evident. That was so great that the very name was protected by Old Testament law. You shall not use Lord God's name in vain. Boy, I hear that a lot with you Christians. I about pull my hair out. I hear people, oh God, are you kidding me? God prohibits that. He said, you don't use not my name. He said, well, that, when I say, oh, God, that's, I'm not thinking about that God. Well, then what God are you talking about then? I see a lot of people, but OMG. The Bible said it was not to be taken vain, nor would the Lord hold him guiltless that took his name in vain. I'd be very careful what you say. But he was not only Jehovah, which was called the Revealer, but he was the Adonai, the Ruler. More, he was our Adonai, our God, our Lord. The word Adonai is sometimes used of man, but not few. Not very many opportunities. The plural Adon signifies the Lord as the Ruler in relationship to the earth. And because it is plural, it carries the thought of rulership great degree. And I am, is especially the Lord who rules his own. No wonder Sennacherib met the disaster on the mountain of Israel. God's people were protected by the best of all packs that God said, I will protect you. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Help us be.